For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Tut Underwood. World War I ended just over a century ago, and Lander University in Greenwood recently presented a symposium to examine various aspects of the conflict. One such aspect was the roles of American women during the war. These roles were examined by a panel which included Dr. Keith Gorman. He said women were actively recruited by a government that was realizing their value on a number of fronts.
Early on, a realization in World War I that they were going to have to mobilize the home front and mobilize women in particular, both to meet labor needs, to meet the fact that there was concern about conscription and they wanted women, mothers and daughters and wives, to support conscription and having their sons, brothers, and husbands sent overseas to fight a foreign war.
Gorman said there also was a need to get women to produce goods for the war effort.
Women were asked to step into roles where usually it was a traditional domain for men, whether it be working in textile mills, whether it be working in airplane factories, whether it be helping build tanks, building munitions. They were required to do that sort of thing because there was just a profound labor shortage at that time.
Fellow panelist Dr. Catherine Silva noted that factory work was not the only area women were called to move into.
You have women working in textiles, you have women working in tobacco factories and other factories, but you also have them working as secretaries. Women are starting to earn their PhDs at this time.
Of course, segregation affected the ability of African-American women to get work even during the war, said Dr. Janet Hudson. But she cited one example of how it was beaten at the Charleston Naval Base.
They were going to start making uniforms, and there are tons of jobs. But originally, they said it was only going to be for white women. And so the local NAACP, they cooperate behind the scenes and get some influence from Minnesota. That person uses his influence to say, yes, you need to open up those opportunities. So they were able to get jobs for 600 women.
Women's organizations were another route to contributing to the war effort, said Hudson.
Their church circles, their women's organizations. So they just took those existing organizations and then turned their efforts towards things like raising money, selling the bonds, getting the word out about the food, and planting. There was a big push to plant more during the war and to conserve.
Silva said the war opened up new vistas for African Americans when they returned to their wives and families after the conflict and helped spur what is now called the Great Migration.
Once you've lived in a place that's not your hometown, and then you've had complete freedom of living overseas in spaces where you don't have to abide by those Jim Crow laws, you're no longer going to be able to do that when you go home. And so it's where black men and women start migrating north because they're trying to get away from the violence of the Jim Crow South.
In spite of losing war jobs to returning veterans, Gorman said women ultimately gained ground in the market.
Once the war ends and there is a sort of a quick demobilization and women are going to be forced out, there are these little pockets where women stay in, for example, nursing, telephone operators, stenographers. Government is growing after the war, economy is growing, and so there are benefits from that.
Women got another big benefit shortly after the war, the vote. But the historians said whether the war helped that along is still open to debate. This report also can be heard on SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org. For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Tut Underwood.